How about that? Welcome to Crosspoint. We hope you are having an incredible kickoff to this holiday season, that if you weren't feeling in the spirit before you got here, before you started watching online, that you're starting to feel those warm and fuzzy holiday feelings. My name is Abby. If we've not met, we're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that you are wrapping up this holiday weekend with us, and hope you had an incredible Thanksgiving. I had a great Thanksgiving. My family and I got to spend a few days at Lake Michigan with some extended family in this awesome house. Great time with family and doing some traditions that are long-standing. However, I realized on the way home yesterday that the photo evidence we have of the week doesn't necessarily line up with the quality of our experience. Most of the pictures look a little something like this one of my kids. Someone in my family looks miserable in every picture we took somehow, which feels fitting, because part of what we are talking about today as we dive into Christmas at the Movies with the movie Elf is this reality that sometimes our expectations don't always line up with our reality, especially in the holidays. And so I am super excited to get to kick off this Christmas at the Movies series together. This has been a long-awaited one around here. And Elf, for me, is one of my very favorite holiday movies. It's the movie that my family typically watches as we set up our Christmas tree on Thanksgiving weekend. So it felt like a perfect fit. Anybody else watch that around this time of year? Yeah. And, you know, if somehow you have been living under a rock for the last 20 years, yes, Elf is almost 20 years old. Does that make anyone else feel ancient in the room? I couldn't believe that this week. But if somehow you've never seen the movie Elf, let me give you just a basic premise of the movie so that we're starting on the same page. Elf is all about this elf named Buddy, who is raised at the North Pole, but then as an adult discovers that he was actually adopted and that biologically he is a human. And not only that, but he has a biological father that lives in New York City. And so he goes on this quest to go and find his father and to get to know who he is. And he finds that as he enters New York City, that the world outside of the North Pole is nothing like what he expected. The movie Elf is full, I'm sure even if you haven't seen it, you know, it's full of some iconic moments and lines. And so whether you are in the venue with us this morning or whether you're watching online from wherever you are, we're going to take just a minute. And it's one of those movies that, I don't know about you, when I talk about Elf, I just have to get out of my system some of my favorite lines. So we're going to do that. We're going to give you, like I said, 30 seconds. Turn to someone near you, whether you're at home or right here, and just share what's a favorite line, a favorite moment from Elf. Ready? Go. I love that there's singing happening in the room. There's so many good moments. And, you know, today we're actually going to spend most of our time looking at the perspective of Walter, who is Buddy's biological dad. And one of my favorite moments in the movie is when Buddy and Walter first meet, when Walter has this huge bombshell dropped on him as Buddy shows up at his office and starts singing what some people in the venue were just singing. I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm losing my voice. My voice never sounds better than this, though. So that's the best singing that you're ever going to get from me. So when we meet Walter in this moment, he is under a lot of pressure. He has just been notified by his boss that if he doesn't make a darn good pitch on Christmas Eve, then on Christmas morning, he's going to find himself without a job. And so we see him wrapped up with this task, consumed with how do I find a book to pitch that will save my job? And I want to pause here for just a moment and invite us to think about our own lives, our own situations. I wonder, as we begin this Christmas season, what is it that is looming large in your life? Maybe like Walter, you find yourself in the midst of some pretty overwhelming stress. Maybe there are some end-of-the-year deadlines that are looming, or you're looking ahead at finals if you're a student. Maybe as you just think about the full plate that you have over the next few weeks or all that it's going to take to make the holidays happen in your home, you find yourself in this place where stress is just building. Maybe today you are sitting with a pending decision that's taking a lot of your energy and attention. Maybe you are sitting in the midst of an unresolved situation in your life, or maybe you're looking at someone you love who has that kind of a situation that they just can't see their way out of, and you're hurting for them. Maybe as you start this Christmas season, grief is loud in your life. As this week you looked at the empty table, at the empty seat at the table, or as you think about the way things once were. I don't know what it is that might be weighing on you, that's looming large in your life, but I know that for most of us, the holidays are a mixed bag, that often they are more complicated than we expect. And in the movie Elf, we see how this plays out for Walter throughout the movie. We can feel the pressure that he's under. We can empathize with his frustration as Buddy continually derails his work. Or maybe I should say, I can empathize with the frustration as Buddy continually derails his work. I have a 4-year-old at home and a 3-month-old, and so my life is full of interruptions. They've not yet had a time where they've picked up my phone and asked someone what their favorite color is, but I did have a moment this week where I was working on the sermon, I was writing, and my son was just behind the computer singing, "Look at my booty, look at my booty." And so in that moment, I was thinking about Buddy sitting in Walter's office, and man, just how frustrating that can be. As we watch the story unfold throughout the movie, we can also see from our perspective what Walter is missing. From the comfort of our couches, it's obvious to us that his preoccupation with his stressful situation is causing him to miss the things that really matter in his life. He has this son that he's never known who wants nothing more than to have a relationship with him. He has another son who he has raised who somewhere along the way stopped expecting his dad to notice him. He has this over-the-top supportive wife. Every time I watch that quick scene where Walter and Emily are talking about the fact that he has this son that they never knew about, I can't get over how immediately chill she is. I think it might be the most unrealistic part of the whole movie, but we can battle about that later. But there are all these things in Walter's life that he's missing, that he's bowing out of because his mind is so focused on his work, on what's right ahead of him, on this deadline that he's got to make. And you know, it's easy for us from the outside to see what he's missing. But it can be more difficult to identify when the same is happening in our own lives, can it? When our plates are full, when our attention is preoccupied, when we have places to be and things to do, we often don't realize all that we are missing in the process. And you know, the same was true at the very first Christmas. There were people who had been waiting their entire lives for that moment. And when it came, they missed it. Matthew is one of the people in the Bible that gives us a record of a version of the first Christmas story. And he starts his story with everyone's favorite thing in the Bible, a big fat list of names. Don't you just love when you get to those? Don't you just love like reading every single one of them? I'm just kidding. We don't. But why does Matthew start this way? He starts this way because he knew that the people who would first be hearing and reading his words, that for them, this list of names would mean something. And it would help for them connect the story of Jesus with that which was looming large in their lives in that moment. See, they were people who were raised with stories of a God who had rescued their people from slavery and had promised to do it again. A God who would someday make right what had been broken, who would restore the power that had been taken from them long ago. They were people who were raised believing that they were part of a story that was going somewhere, that God had promised through the line of David that they would be part of a kingdom that lasted forever. And yet, the hope of those promises seemed so far from the reality in which they were living. Instead, they found themselves living under the oppression of yet another foreign government who was getting more powerful by the minute. They were watching their identity slip away, living in an era of political madness where 90% of people lived below the poverty line and had no idea where their next meal would come from. They were people who were desperate. They were longing for someone to come and reestablish a kingdom in which they could finally live well. And so, this is why Matthew starts telling the Christmas story with this genealogy, this list of names, as a way of saying, hey, you know that person, that leader, that Messiah that you have been waiting for all of your lives? He's actually already here. But listen up, lean in, because his story is not what you would have expected. See, much like Buddy, when Jesus comes on to the scene, he is nothing what people thought he would be. Many were looking for a military leader, a king, who would save the people of Israel. But Jesus came for a different purpose. He came to establish a different kind of kingdom, not one that was built on fear and control and power, but a kingdom that is driven by love, peace, hope, joy. Not a kingdom for an exclusive in-group of people, but a kingdom for all people. Jesus actually describes the kingdom he came to build in what Luke, another guy who wrote a version of the Christmas story, records as Jesus' mission statement. He talks about Jesus getting up in a place not unlike this one and reading from a scroll, and this is what he says. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now listen, I know, when we read things from the Bible out loud, it's easy to gloss over, to not really listen to that part, but I don't want you to miss this part. See, this is central to understanding the story of Christmas, what it means that God came to live among us, because Jesus is saying, listen up, I may not give you what you think you need, but this is what I'm here for. I'm here to bring good news, especially to those who the world has overlooked, to those who have been thrown to the margins. I'm here to set you free from what has held you captive, to reveal what you have not yet been able to see, to lift the weight of oppression that you have been living under like it's normal, and to show you a God who is good, who is loving, who is for you and for all people. This theme of upended expectations is a solid through line throughout the story of Jesus, and it's also a theme we see throughout the movie Elf. For Buddy, nothing in New York City is what he expected it to be, right? From the moment that he realizes raccoons aren't super into hugs, I love this one, to the moment that he discovers that Gimbals was not actually expecting a visit from the real Santa. You sit on a throne of lies. There's other characters in the movie, too, that have their expectations upended. Walter is certainly one of them. He didn't expect to have another son. He certainly didn't expect that son to have been raised by elves at the North Pole. And so we watch him spend most of the movie trying to figure out what's the easiest way for me to get Buddy to just move on, to get out of the way, so that I don't have to deal with the inconveniences that he is causing in every part of my life. Walter's trying to just get past this interruption that Buddy has caused for him. Until there's this pivotal moment when something clicks for Walter. When he realizes that his obsession with what he thought he needed to save his job had prevented him from seeing how this unexpected inconvenience could radically change his life. Let's take a look.
As you know, we need a big launch fast to get the company back on track. So I think I speak for my fellow board members when I say, this better be good.
Before I get into the story, let me start with the cover, okay? Now, just picture this.
Dad, I gotta talk to you.
Michael, what is it?
Buddy ran away.
What?
He left a note. I'm scared, Dad. He's gone.
Let me just finish this meeting and then we'll figure it out, okay?
Figure out what? Buddy cares about everybody. All you care about is yourself.
Hey, Michael. Wait.
We're gonna have to reschedule this, Mr. Greenway.
We don't have time to reschedule. I want to hear the damn thing now. Son, you'll have to wait.
Don't tell my kid what to do. Can't we do this another time, Mr. Greenway?
I flew in just to hear this pitch, and I intend to.
It's gonna have to wait.
If you want to keep your job, Hobbs, you will pitch me this book right now.
Well, up yours.
Yeah, up yours.
Hobbs, you walk out of here and you're finished at Greenway. You're finished.
This is the invitation of Christmas, right? To press pause on the things that throughout the year seem to be most pressing. Those things that are begging for our attention so that we might, for a moment, be open to the unexpected. To see beyond our circumstances at the things that God would have for us that are more than we could dream. And so the question is, what does it look like for us to open ourselves to the unexpected things that might come our way this holiday season? I think to answer that question, we can find a couple of clues from someone who didn't miss what was happening in that first Christmas story. A woman named Mary. You may recognize her as the mother of Jesus. And you also might think, well, obviously Mary did not miss Jesus's birth. That would not quite have been possible. But actually, that's not true. If we pay attention to her story as Luke tells it to us, there is this moment where Mary makes a conscious decision to be open to this wildly unexpected way that God wanted to work in her life. Luke tells us about this interaction when an angel comes to Mary and tells her, guess what? Your lucky number has been chosen and you win a baby. And by the way, that baby is also the Son of God. And this teenage girl, Mary, is confused and disturbed, obviously. She has some questions that she needs to work through. But by the end of the conversation, she gets to this point where she makes a decision. Luke tells us that Mary says, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In other words, she consents. She says, okay, I'll do it. I wish we knew more about her story, about what it was that got her to this point, that prepared her to trust God in such a radical way. All we know is that in this moment, she made a decision to make room for the unexpected in her life. And this was not a small inconvenience. In addition to the minor inconvenience of growing a human baby in her body for 9 months, I did that this year, so I've got a little, you know, feeling about that. I've got to feel my girl Mary. But in addition to that, she knew that saying yes in this moment would make her an outcast in her community. It would bring shame to her family. It would forever change her relationship with her fiancé. And more than that, what we miss often is that Mary knew by saying yes in that moment, it very well might cost her her life. She didn't yet know, but would soon discover how radically becoming the mother to this child would change the course of her life. That in just a few years, it would mean her fleeing as a refugee to a foreign land to save this child's life, not to mention what she would have to endure later on. But despite the cost, Mary says, "I'm in." And what she gained was a front row seat to how God would change the course of history. She became the person who got to know God in the flesh in a way that no one else ever would, in the intimate way that a mother knows her child. She gained a legacy that endured for thousands of generations, even to our day, because she said yes, and she made room for the unexpected. Like Mary, this is the same is true for us. Christmas begs us to make room for the unexpected so that we might experience the power of being inconvenienced. Let me tell you about one of the ways that I've been experiencing this in my life recently. A little bit of backstory. In February, my family started coming to Crosspoint, and around that time, I jumped in with the CSM team and started serving with our students here at Crosspoint. And then in July, I took some time off when my daughter was born. And during those weeks away, to be honest, I really wrestled with whether or not I was going to come back to CSM, with whether or not I still had space and energy in my life to invest in that way now that I had a newborn and there were all of these new demands in our house. But ultimately, I decided to make room. Not because there isn't value in creating boundaries to prioritize your family. In fact, I've reordered my life in a lot of ways just to do that. But I jumped back in because I decided that it was worth the cost. And I'm so glad that I did. See, over the week since that decision, what I've gotten to see is students who are digging in throughout the Live Free journey, watching them identify these ways that they were not yet free and taking steps toward freedom, speaking things over each other's lives, encouraging each other, picking up new habits. Last weekend, we got to go to this gathering with some other teenagers from around the state. And I had this moment where I got to bear witness to several of them making significant steps of faith. And it hit me in that moment that being able to be present with them not only was giving me the opportunity to see how God was changing them, but it was changing me. Because this is how it works. When we show up in one another's lives, this is the place where we experience change. Change happens in the context of relationships, when we make room. It's not linear, it's not convenient, it usually doesn't happen the way we expect, but it's in the interruptions, in the inconveniences, in the midst of the messiness of relationships, that God shows up in our midst. And so as we wrap up today, I want to ask you the question again. As you think about your life, what would it look like for you to open yourself up to the unexpected this Christmas season? Maybe for you, it starts with an act of showing up. Maybe there is a person in your life that in the midst of your preoccupation with the things that have been stressing you out or the things that you identified earlier, you're realizing in this moment that there's a person in your life that needs you to show up for them. And so you're going to take a step this week to do just that. Maybe for you, it's an opportunity to show up by saying yes to serve in a new way, here or in our community. Maybe for you, you're not so sure about all this Jesus thing, all this Christmas thing. Maybe as we talk about this story, there are a lot of questions that come to your mind. I get it. I'm glad that you're here. And so maybe for you, being open to the unexpected looks like showing up with just a little bit more openness. By deciding to be here or to watch online throughout this series and just to crack open the door to see what might happen as you open up to what God may have for you, maybe for the first time. Maybe for you, it has nothing to do with any of those things, but showing up looks like as you go throughout the things that are ahead of you over these next few weeks, realizing that wherever you go, you want to show up fully there, to be all there, to be present where your body is so that you don't miss what's happening right in front of you, the things that matter most. Maybe for you, being open in this Christmas season looks a little more like making room. Maybe making room literally in your schedule to have a little more space to pause, a little more space for those in your home who need you, a little more space for someone else that you can serve. Or maybe the invitation for you today is to make room in your soul. That even in this moment, for you to pause and to think back to that thing that is looming large in your life and to see what happens if you just release your grip a little bit on that. In fact, over these next few moments, we want to create an opportunity to do just that. Before we head into all of the rest of the things that this day and this week might hold, that we don't miss this moment. So let me pray for us as we do. God, I thank you that over and over again, you prove yourself to be a God who shows up in ways that we would never expect. God, that you are a God who is better and bigger and more loving than we would anticipate you to be. And so, God, I pray in these moments that you would meet us here, that you would give us the ability to be fully here in this moment with you and to make room for the things that you have for us this day, this week, this Christmas season. Would you open our eyes to your kingdom, to the things that you are speaking to us in this moment?